Lights up, please. It's too dark here in the wild. Man, I finally made it. After a long airplane ride and got on a bus and then a mule and now out on foot, I finally made it here to the wild. I'm so excited. It's my favorite time of the year. But I brought my camera. I got it packed away here. You know what we're really going to be doing this week is taking pictures of many wild and exciting things, just like animals. You all look around here, audience. See if you see any animals worthy of me taking their pictures. Do we see any animals worthy of taking? Here comes some. Show your love for these animals. Run around so we can see you. Wow, that's exciting. Come over here. I think you're all tame. Come over here with me. This is exciting. Thanks for being good sports. Keep your heads on here, animals. Thank you so much. Turn and face the audience here. Turn back and face everybody. Wow. In case you don't know, we're having In the Wild Vacation Bible School the day after Father's Day. So I'm not only going to advertise it one more time for you here at First Baptist Fairleigh, our friends, but also the radio listening audience. Listen to me, grandmas and grandpas. Those of you who babysit the kids throughout the summer, you want to be a part of this week in the wild. It's for ages 5 through grade 6, all the way through grade 6. I promise if you come out at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll be gathering here in our gymnasium. At 8:30, we'll get everybody registered. We'll come over here. Your kids will remember this week forever. So once again, you and our radio listening audience, Miss Donna's not here today to advertise. I just want to extend a personal invitation to everybody to make Vacation Bible School an important part of your summer. When is it again? The day after Father's Day. Monday it starts, the day after Father's Day, and it runs all week. What's the time? From 9 o'clock in the morning until noon. What are they going to do? Everything you saw in that video and more. Okay, any questions? None being. Show your love here for the animals while they're being dismissed. All right, all the wild animals here are being dismissed, as well as the other boys and girls to Children's Church and Puggles. All the big people right now. How would you like being a part of this church when you were a child, huh? Don't tell me church is boring. Let me say how exciting it's going to be this week. Open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, as well as your worship guide, your bulletin there. John chapter 20, I'm going to share one verse which pertains to our Vacation Bible School theme for this year. John chapter 20, specifically verse number 31. We don't always do that, but honor God. Would you mind standing at this time for the reading of God's Word? It's good to stretch our legs and honor the Lord like they did in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. John chapter 20, verse 31, if you got it, say, got it. You know what that tells me? You brought your Bibles. In our Discover class, we just have a new batch coming through here, and everybody's excited that we're using our Bibles here. Folks, we're a Bible church. Can I get amen? And we want to pour the Bible into boys and girls and grandmas and grandpas of all ages. But if you ever wondered why God gave us the Bible, you go find the answer in verse 31 of John chapter 20. But these things are written. What things? The things in the Bible. That you might believe that Jesus is Christ. The Son of who? The Son of God. And not only is He the Son of God, but that by believing you might have what? Life through Him. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's pray at this time. Heavenly Father, what an exciting day it is. Babies being born, people being married, vacations being experienced, and now the Word of God is being read and shared at a level that everyone can understand. So Heavenly Father, please bless not only the reading, but the teaching and the preaching of Thy Holy Word today, and of course during this incredible In the Wild Vacation Bible School week. Help us to make this a priority in our lives. We thank You. Through Christ, the Son of God, we offer this prayer, and all of God's children said in His name, amen. Folks, if you don't know much about the book of John, this is the book, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the one when someone becomes a Christian, a new Christian, we tell them to go to the book of John and stay right there and you're going to learn about Jesus. I have a dear friend here, Lee, raise your hand. Lee and I are buddies. He's not going to mind to do this. Lee's a new believer in Christ Jesus. And I say, Lee, stay in the book of John and you'll learn about Jesus. Watch this. And you're also going to learn about yourself. This is important. When people become believers, followers of Jesus Christ, or perhaps they come to church, they say, you know, I think I'm going to start in the book of Genesis. I'm going to start in the Garden of Eden. That's okay, but I promise you, you're going to lose sight of the gospel between Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the others. You're going to say, well, when does Jesus show up? Well, he's in the New Testament. He's made reference to in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, he really comes alive in the book of John. So here's the thing. If you want to learn about Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, yes, go to the book of John. And if you don't have a daily Bible reading, I'm going to invite you to do that, even if you've been a Christian for many, many years. Just go to the book of John. Watch this. Not only are you going to learn a lot about Jesus, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. We find in the very next chapter, after chapter 20, verse 31, the reason we have the Bible, we find Jesus talking to his disciples. And notice how it says, after these things, in verse 1 of chapter 21 of John, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples there in the Sea of Tiberias. So this is after his death, burial, and resurrection. He had met with them many times. As a matter of fact, you fast forward, look in verse 14 of John chapter 21, you can find Jesus sharing that exact thought. This is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from what? From the dead, from the grave. So this is post-Easter. They're more than 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine learning this of boys and girls about Jesus coming from heaven into the manger scene? Most of them understand that. But then how Jesus took on flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14, and he grew up just like a boy and a girl would today. But he wasn't an ordinary boy and girl. He was the Christ, the Son of God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, not all boys and girls know that. So we get a chance to encourage them to meet Jesus. If you look inside of your Bible, inside of your bulletin, rather, you're going to find the word encounter. Notice in the sermon notes section, please. The theme for this year is In the Wild. Today's message is personal encounters with Jesus Christ. Amazing encounters with Jesus Christ. I want you to follow along with your eyes what I read, what I've written here for your enjoyment, as found inside of your bulletin. Life is filled with incredible encounters. The greatest of all is when God allows us to encounter His love through a personal relationship with Him now on earth and throughout eternity in heaven. All through His holy word, God introduces Himself in incredible ways, showing Himself to be perfectly loving, generous, faithful, true, compassionate, and merciful. Put your finger right there and stop. How many of you think boys and girls need to understand that God still loves them? How many of you know that many of the boys and girls right now outside of our four walls don't live in the perfect environment that you and I live in? How many know boys and girls need to understand that Jesus Christ loves them and He's generous, He's faithful, He will never leave them nor forsake them. He wants to know them in an intimate way, and He said, I will be the best father you've ever had, regardless what your earthly parents are like. Folks, that's why we have Vacation Bible School. Let's continue reading. Even though people aren't perfect, God has a plan, watch this, an encounter like none other to forgive us of our sin and to bless us through Him. So the question for all of us, as underscored there in your sermon notes section, have you ever experienced this personal encounter with the Father? If not, God wants you to begin this relationship with Him when? Today. So now I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to fast forward to next week with the boys and girls. I'm talking to you right now. Can you remember a time in your life, in the wild of life, in the wild of your life, whether you lived a hellacious life or not? Can you remember a time that you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Some of you have shared with me how you trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior as a boy and a girl in Vacation Bible School. Wonderful! I wasn't that child, nor are most of my friends. We grew up in a different era, back in the 60s and 70s. Even those who went to church, I'll be honest, even those who went to church, many of them were just faking it. And that kind of turned me off as someone who needed Jesus. I saw many of my schoolmates going to church on Sunday, dressed in all the finery, going to youth group on Sunday night, and living like the world with me and others throughout the entire week. And I said, you know, I'm just not a fake. A lot of things I may be, but I'm not a fake. I'm asking you right now, are you faking it? Think about this. God sent His Son, Jesus, for everyone here to have a personal encounter with Him in the wild, in the wildness of this life. Can you think back to a time that you had this encounter with Jesus? Now, don't play the card, well, I've always been a Christian, or I've always been in church. I've already described to you, that's not going to get you to heaven. That personal relationship, when you turn from your sin, you turn to Jesus and humbled yourself and said, forgive me and save me. And God says, now come into my sheepfold. See, this is for you and the radio listening audience. See how simple that is? Boys and girls can understand this. One of the reasons we have Vacation Bible School year after year, because I remember when we had some five-year-olds come 5 years ago to our first Bible school. 5 years ago, they were singing songs about Jesus. They were doing the crafts. They were doing the games. They met new friends, had some of their school buddies there with them, arm in arm. They're just having a good time. They're five. Next year, they're six. And now they're still learning more about Jesus. The next year, they're seven, and they're starting to ask questions. What does sin really mean? It means to break God's heart. It means to miss the standard, the mark that God has for us. And now they're 8, 9, and last year even 10 and 11. I've been in Bible school. I've been in Sunday school. I'm starting to understand what this means now, to have a personal encounter with God. Miss Donna, Pastor Dallas, Miss Holly, and others. Can I ask Jesus to be my Savior? You see how good that is? So I'm asking you, as well as painting a picture here of the boys and girls, I'm asking all of us to consider the importance of a personal encounter with Jesus. By the way, Jesus Himself said here in John 21, this is important. Because we've already discovered why we have the Bible in verse 31, but look in John 21, He's with His immediate disciples. And He points out one person in particular. Now you know the Gospel of John was written by John himself, the disciple who Jesus loved. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about the jealousy throughout the discipleship here, but there may have been. I don't know. I don't want to read something into it. But John wrote this narrative, chronicling the life of Jesus Christ. So he had to be honest to God's calling, the inspiration of God. When Jesus, before He went back to the Father, He looked at Peter. He said, Peter, I want to talk about my personal life with you. I want to talk about my personal encounters with you. You'll find this as listed in a very famous portion of Scripture, verse 15 of John 21. I invite you to look there with me again, please. This is the third time we found out in verse 14 that Jesus met with His disciples after His death, burial, and blessed resurrection. But now He calls attention to Peter, but He doesn't call him Peter. You see that in verse 15? After they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, He said, Simon, son of Jonas, Cephas, do you agape me? Remember, we've studied this out. There's different definitions for the word love. Do you love me unconditionally as I love you? That's the word agape in the Bible. Simple tense, simple definition. Do you love me more than all of these? Talking about the other disciples, talking about the worldly affairs. And of course, Peter, who'd already been called Peter for all these years, has to be wondering, why is he not calling me Peter again? Have I slipped that far away? Perhaps Peter is thinking back to a time in his life that he turned his back on Jesus in his hour of need. Oh yeah, that's right. It was just days ago. Remember that? After the arrest, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Huh? And they said, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And he said, no. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? And how many times do we find recorded here that Jesus asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? The same three times. So he's saying, really, Peter, I'm not going to call you Peter. I'm going to go back to what I knew you before when I felt like you really agape'd me. I'm going to ask you right now, as well as I'm asking myself, have we slipped away from our personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm talking to the Christians now, the Christians. We can be Christians and still be out of God's will. We can be Christians and still be far away from Jesus. Can you lose your salvation? No. No one. The same book tells you, John chapter 10, no one's going to snatch you out of my Father's hand, but you and I can still get so far away from Jesus. He said, you used to be close by me, you used to be with me all the time, and now you're so far away. I want to restore this engagement, this relationship I have with you. You're still my sheep, but I want you to come back to me and tell me that you love me. By the way, men, this is a picture of the bride of Christ, the church, and Jesus Christ. But I also use this in counseling. Men, when was the last time you told your wife, I love you? And I don't mean going out the door, oh, by the way, love you, me too. When was the last time you really looked at your wife and said, I love you? That's what Jesus wanted from Peter, from Cephas here, from Simon. So he said, do you agape me? And look in verse 15. And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. But again, if you've ever been in any of our Bible classes, you know the word love here wasn't agape, it's phileo. You know what it means? If I were to translate this, which I'm not going to, I'm very fond of you. So Jesus is asking Peter, this is Simon Peter. This is one of the heroes of our faith. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, I like you a bunch. You know how people are in church today that just like Jesus? They don't really love Jesus? Well, Jesus asked him again in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you really, really agape me? He said again, Lord, you know this. But he doesn't use the word agape in love. He said, I phileo, I am very fond of you. So Jesus said, well, I've got some things I need you to do. I need you to minister. I need you to feed the sheep. But then in verse 17, Jesus uses the same word Peter does. It has to drive a stake in Peter's heart. He said to him the third time, just like you denied me three times, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? But what he said was, do you like me? Are you fond of me? Do you phileo me? And the Bible says Peter was very grieved because he said this unto him the third time. You see, Peter's connecting the dots. You and I need to do that as well. Amen? Do we really love God? Or are we very fond of God? Peter kind of draws the attention away from himself. It's easy to do this. Well, Pastor Dallas, I might not really love God the way you love God, but watch this. But I love God better than that person I'm sitting next to. What? How many times have I heard that in my personal evangelism life? Well, I ask someone, do you really love Jesus? Do you know him personally? Have you ever made your peace with God? Well, no, I'm not what I should be, but I'm better than that person. I'm better than my wife. I'm better than my husband. I'm better than that guy. Hey, I'm probably better than you, preacher. That's not the question. Jesus was asking Peter, do you really love me unconditionally? And Peter said, well, listen, you know everything, so I got to come clean. I like you a lot, but I'm better than John. What? He's going to pick on the disciple that Jesus loved? Most people overlook this in John chapter 21. Look in verse 20. Peter calls attention away from himself, and he says, look. Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm not implying there's jealousy there, but just the sinful nature of mankind lends itself here. And he said, listen, he looks and he remembers. This is John, to the Last Supper. in this intimate relationship, lying in the lap of Jesus, just enjoying the intimacy of God in the flesh. And Peter says in verse 21, Lord, what about this man? What about this man? Oh, and then Jesus drives home a very important point. What business is this of yours? Don't worry about everybody else. Worry about your personal encounter with me. That's what the boys and girls are going to be experiencing during VBS. And that's what you and I need to experience today. Here in the wild, in the wildness of this world we live in. Don't worry about everybody else. Don't compare yourself to anyone other than Jesus. But Peter was doing this. He's a good guy. So if he fell victim to it, it'd be easy for us to fall victim as well. Amen? But Jesus said, that's not your business. So in verse 22, Jesus said, if I will till I come, what business is this to you? I want you to follow me. What is this to thee? I want you to follow me. Follow me, Peter. That's a question for you and I today. Look back at your sermon notes section. The amazing encounter with God. If you truly had a born-again experience, you will describe it as amazing. We can decorate the church. We can pull out all the stops, have all the music and the games and fun. But when the boys and girls leave here, they don't leave here like you and I typically leave here thinking about the day. I hear them in the parking lot. They tell their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and the older siblings who brought them here, it was awesome. It was amazing. Can I come back tomorrow? Children who the parents are forcing to come through the registration line on Monday. Look at me hours later and say, what happened? What happened? Johnny, Jane, Joey, they didn't want to come. I made them come. And now the first day they're saying, it was amazing. Can I come back tomorrow? Folks, if you ever had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, you would use that word. It was amazing. I think back 45 years ago, 46 years ago, to my personal encounter with Jesus Christ. My amazing encounter with Jesus Christ. And soon after that, in the 70s, someone wrote a song. Our God is an awesome God. How many of you know that song? Our God is an awesome God. And I thought, is that really a word to be describing God? Is that blasphemous? And I learned in college many years later, that word awesome is a biblical word. That word awesome should only be used referring to God. Now, isn't that amazing? If I ever bring a Greek scholar into this church, some of my friends in seminary, I will ask him to preach that message. We say, boy, wasn't that baseball game last night awesome? Wasn't that hamburger Ruby Tuesdays awesome? Wasn't the weather yesterday not awesome? God is awesome. Teach your kids how awesome God is. Let me ask you, do you have in your schedule, do you have Bible times with your kids? I never grew up with that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'd give $1 million if I could see my father take me to church one time. I'd give $1 million if I had to see Daddy leading a devotion at a kitchen table or us ever reading Scripture, doing anything. But something they did do, they taught us about life, and they taught us about people. If you're not there yet, let me invite you to do something. Let me invite you to go and study some of the giant missionaries of the faith. You can go get a book out of our library right here. Find your favorite missionary parents and teach your children the importance of missions, end-time missions, so people can have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. You can start with the father of modern-day missions, William Carey. You can talk about George Mueller. You can talk about those of you in the medical world. Talk about David Livingston. You can talk about here in America, David Brainerd. You can talk about whoever you want to talk about, and you can study about them. And the boys and girls will see there's life outside of Lewisburg. There's life outside of what they're just used to. Show them how people can have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. My favorite missionaries of all time, probably you have never heard of, is David and Savea Flood, 1921. Let me tell you a story. 1921, the floods. David and Savea Flood, a young Christian couple, left the comfort of Sweden. And they joined up with another enthusiastic young couple from Scandinavia, and they were called the Ericssons. The Ericssons and the Floods left the comfort of their country, and they went to the inner chambers of what is now modern-day Zaire, to the jungles of Africa in 1921, with all their belongings on their back, just like I carried in a backpack today, and the gospel in their heart and on their lips. They were so excited. They cut to the inner courts of the jungle there. They made it to their first village. And of course, they knew from protocol, they called for the great chief. And here he had these two young couples with a glow on their face, a love of Jesus. They said, "We want to come in and share with your tribe about the one true God." The first chief said, "Are you kidding me? You're not coming in. We already have our gods. You're lucky that I let you live by even insinuating you would bring another pagan god to our gods. We have our gods and our idols. You all need to go to another village." And so they did. They went to another village. Still as excited as you can imagine. Cut their way through the jungle, same thing, and received the same response. Dave and Savea Flood and the Erickson families, after week, they became discouraged. After months, they became discouraged. Everywhere they went, they received the same response. "You're not welcome here." "But God, you called us here. You called us here." Time elapsed, almost a year, and the Ericssons, at the last village where they stopped, said, "We're done. We're going to go to a mission post a little closer to the interior of Africa. You guys can stay if you want. We're wore out. We're out of money. We're out of patience. We're out of rations." But see, the thing was with David and Savea, they couldn't go. They were sick. They couldn't press on. So the last village, they went up on the hillside and they cleared off a piece of land just so they could make a mud hut and sit outside the hut and pray over this last village. "God, could you just pour your grace and your mercy down on this last village? This is it, God, we're all in." God allowed one little boy, a young lad, with permission of the great chief, to sell them fresh eggs for pennies. God spoke to David and Savea Flood, said, "This is your link to that village. When that little boy brings you up the eggs, you have him help you learn Swahili, the native language, which was very broken in their training." So the great chief would allow them to exchange the little funds they had for the eggs and for this child to invest in them, the Swahili language. But they invested in him the gospel. This little boy got saved after a few months. He couldn't tell the great chief because he knew he would be beaten. But soon after that, Savea found out she was pregnant. Malaria had stricken that part of Africa. People were dying everywhere. She was on death's door. When the little boy came up one time for a visit, David said, "Tell the great chief I need help." And the chief allowed a midwife to come up and be there with her and nurse her back to health long enough to have the baby. She had a little girl, Aina. And 17 days later, she died. Not the little girl, but the mother. Savea was dead. David Flood became so bitter with God because this happened. He dug a crude grave, erected a sign with her name, Savea Flood, born 1921 to 23, died here on this soil. He picked up his baby. He left that mountaintop. He's made his way to this mission post with all the strength he could muster. And he went to the mission post, and guess who's still there? The Erickson family. And he said, I'm done with God. I'm done with missions. I don't know why we all went through this expense. You do this whatever you want to. I got to find a home for this baby. The Ericksons, who were still serving God through the mission post, said, we can't have children of our own. We'll take little Aina. And they did. He bid everybody farewell and left this infant. No mother's milk, no aid, left her with them, and off he went back to Sweden. 8 months later, somebody poisoned their camp. Many people died, including the Ericksons. And they heard a cry of a baby, little Aina. So missionaries came back and found this baby. They called to America and said, is there anyone there who could take this baby? Because we're done. We're done. The natives here is vicious. It's not working. An American family adopted this child. Let's fast forward. She's on the west coast in Seattle. She married a Christian man. She's now in her 40s. He was in charge of a Bible college there. One day they received some literature in the mail, a magazine. On the front of the magazine was a little cross her father had erected of her mother, Savea Flood. She knew her mother's name, but she never remembered her because she was just an infant. She goes run off to the Bible college. She said, help me find, where is this? Where is this? And one of the professors helped her interpret that it was in the inner parts of Africa. Somebody had taken this picture, said, the lost grave of the greatest missionary in Africa. What? She couldn't get over this. She couldn't get over it. So she read the story and found out 600 people had become believers in that little village and had spread to other villages around. That same little boy who was bringing them eggs went back after they left and told the chief, I got to come clean. They were my friends. And they told me about another friend named Jesus. The chief got saved. You know how important that is. The chief got saved. And then he brought everybody together. And the little boy led all these adults, over 600, to Jesus Christ. And that's what this story was about. And they didn't know who this woman was buried up on the hill other than this woman led this little boy who carried eggs to him one day. Took time for him to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. This woman now said, what a wonderful story. If this truly is my mother, I must share it with my papa. So her husband allowed her to go with the professor all the way over to Sweden. She found her father crawled up in a liquor bottle. Now as a 70-some-year-old man, balled up in a little one-room apartment, filthy, laying on the bed, almost dead. She knocks on the door. Papa, it's me. No answer. Heard a grunt. He's sick. He's dying. Papa, it's Aina. Your baby. Her father's able to get up and let her in and say, Aina, Aina. My child, I thought I would never see you again. Papa, look, look at the magazine. Papa, look at the magazine. Did you make this grave of Mama? He said, yes, yes, many years ago. She said, oh, praise God. Papa, praise God. 600 people came to know Jesus through this little boy bringing you eggs as Mama took time to tell him. The father said, what? I don't even believe in God anymore. Papa, look at me. Papa, look at me. You invest in this little boy. Do you remember the little boy with the eggs? Yes, I remember the little boy with the eggs. He's the only one that could come talk to us except for the midwife when you were born, Aina. Papa, 600 people become Christians because of you and Mama. She didn't die in vain. When she left that room, she heard her father in his dying breath
singing in Swahili hymns of the faith, how great God is. If the story ended there, that would be enough. But hold on, it gets gooder and gooder. Fast forward now 25 more years. She's an old woman. Her husband is in a last Bible conference in London, England. A gentleman was speaking about global missions and how in Africa, one couple from Sweden many years ago came and invested in one tribe, in one village, and one little boy. And how now that area, more modernized and developed, had a 120-bed hospital, had 32 mission statements, how a recorded 110,000 believers have been saved, discipled, and baptized in thousands of churches all around Africa. Aina couldn't believe what she was hearing. She had that magazine in her Bible. After the conference, she goes run up to the man. There, she says, sir, he's coming out of the pulpit. Sir, sir, is this the magazine? Is this the woman? Is this the woman? He said, that's it. That's it. She said, that was my mother. He said, oh, what? That was my mother who led this child to Jesus, who changed the interior of Africa. He said, P.S., sweetheart, I'm the boy who carried the eggs. Hey, I'm that boy. Is your papa still living? No, he died. Well, would you do me the honor? Your mother is the greatest missionary in this world. We have built a shrine around this little primitive grave for her. Would you do me the honor going back to Africa with me and paying respects at this grave where it all started? And she did. She said when they went up the hill there, which now is a road, hundreds of people lined the road, just like with Jesus, and waved palm branches. They had a big palm tree over this grave, and waved palm branches and told her what a great set of parents they had, especially the mother who died on her field so one boy could be saved. But she looked at the grave. She paid her respects. They had a big celebration, a big parade. She walked out to a place no doubt she had seen before as an infant, couldn't remember, and looked over the village. And she thanked God for one mother and one father who took time to share the gospel in a personal encounter with one boy. Ladies and gentlemen, you know where I'm going with this. That's why we still have Bible school. We have no idea where that one child last year, this year, next year, where they're going to go in the world. We have no idea how this one child can change an entire continent. That's why we still have Bible school. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It helps me to do business with God when I do so. Before we thank God for our missionaries around the world and the opportunity to share the gospel with the lost at any cost, I'm going to ask you once again, have you ever had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? You and our radio friends need to understand, you and I are going to stand before God one day. God is not going to ask us about our neighbors, our spouses, our families, how they're living. He's going to ask, how are you doing with this? What are you going to say? I'm asking you, have you ever had that conversion like this little boy delivering eggs? This amazing, awesome encounter with Jesus Christ, where God forgave you, renewed your spirit, and you became inspired, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and your life has been changed. Has that ever happened? If not, here in the stillness of the moment, I'm going to invite you to meet Jesus in that same way. Ask Him to forgive you and save you, bless you, and fill you with the Holy Ghost of God, and He will do so. Father, into Your presence we come. Move, Holy Spirit of the living God. Oh God, thank You so much for Sunday school, Bible school, youth, camps, retreats, outings. But God, all that pales in comparison. Thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the clarity of the Scriptures. Those who believe and receive will be renewed in the Spirit. Thank You, King Jesus, for making all this possible. We pray this in Your name. As always, amen and amen.